brought to you by Penguin.
The Night in Question by Susan Fletcher. Read by Jenny Funnell. Chapter 1. Someone is crying. 4 weeks ago, a man died. He fell out in the wildest part of the grounds where the nettles are, where ivy and bindweed have climbed up the plinth of an old stone cherub, so the cherub can't be seen now. It's an overgrown place with a foxy smell. No one goes there, as such. But one warm May evening, Arthur Potts wandered to this part of the garden. Who knows why? And he tripped and struck his head on the edge of the plinth, just once, with the bright, hard tap of an egg. His pipe cracked, his spectacles shattered, and his wrist, too, made a snapping sound. "Oh, help!" cried the person who witnessed it. "Please help!" The staff did their best. They ran out, knelt by his side as they waited for the ambulance. "Arthur? Hold on!" But Arthur Potts died as they waited. His lifetime's warmth seeped into the dark, Oxfordshire earth. His mouth stayed open, and his eyes grew still so that in the end, they all understood they were kneeling by what remained of Arthur, not by Arthur himself. A stillness descended like dew. They sat back on their heels, glanced at each other, and he must have seemed smaller suddenly, as people do when they die. Florrie wasn't there. She didn't see this happen, but she's heard about it from those who did. And she's imagined it many times since. His mouth, that tap, those spectacles. She wondered if Arthur felt cold as he lay there. She's wondered, too, if he'd known he was dying. And if so, had he fought against it, been afraid? Or maybe, being Arthur, he'd accepted it all with a mild, childlike wonder. "Ah, so this is how I go." It is nearly midnight. Everything is quiet. Florence Butterfield sits up in bed in her floral nightdress and stares at her bookshelves without seeing them. It doesn't help, she knows, to dwell. But she can't help it. It isn't merely Arthur's death that saddens her. Florrie can't bear how he died, for whilst one rather expects death at Babington Hall, it mostly comes through the slowing of hearts or the filling of lungs, an indoors death at least. Who could have expected this? The cracking of a skull and an ivied plinth. And how could it have happened to Arthur, of all people, when he'd been so lively and affable, so fond of puddings and horse racing, and of his tobacco pipe, which had made a gentle putt-putt sound as he smoked it. He'd been young, too, in his mid-70s, which is no age at all. There are some here who are over 100 years old, yet it was Arthur Potts, not them, who was taken away in an ambulance and didn't come back. Florrie looks down at her lap. She misses her friend so much at this moment that she thinks to announce it, to say, "I do miss you, you know," as if Arthur was sitting in front of her in his thinning corduroy trousers, which maybe he is, in an invisible form. If so, he's smiling back at her. "Florrie, you daft old thing. Ah well, for what can be done now?" Arthur is no longer living in the proper way of it, but Florrie still breathes in and out. Her heart still thumps, still wants to keep going. How glad she is, every morning, to open her eyes onto this arched ceiling with its pink tasselled lampshade, to know that there's a whole new day ahead of her, which will have wonders in it, for days always do, even now, at her age. At this, the church bells start to chime for midnight. Florrie adjusts her bed linen. She lifts off her spectacles and sets them on her bedside table, alongside her novel and dried...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?